This is Audible.
Podium Publishing presents Super Sales on Superheroes, Book 3, written by William D. Arend, performed by Nick Podell. Chapter 1. Changes. Felix smiled and leaned to one side in his chair. He looked from the microphone, which hung between himself and the rabbit-eared beastkin, to the camera behind her. He waited for the next question. This in-between time from question to question often got cut.
Mr. Campbell, this next one is a bit of a loaded inquiry, so I apologize in advance,
Erica said, giving him a broad smile, her brown eyes and soft features inviting him to confide in her. Other than her dark black hair having grown quite long, she hadn't changed since he'd first met her at the company picnic. Bright, energetic, and cute. It was no wonder her news segment had become extremely popular in Wall. That went for the entire country, not its same-named capital city. Everyone loved to watch her, and she always seemed to get the best stories, the most hard-hitting interviews. Didn't hurt that she always looked stunning on the television. Narwin Legion hand-feeds her every story of interest, now does it? Please, don't worry about it. I'd expect nothing less from you, Miss Newberg. And I knowingly accepted your invitation to the interview, Felix said, playing into his role, despite knowing your predisposition. Erica had proved to be a perfect lightning rod for negative and neutral stories about Legion. Her counterpart, Jessica Pereira, was where all the positive and political support stories went. Everyone thought the two women hated each other, given that they seemed to represent opposing views. Personally, Felix found the reality hilarious. He knew for a fact that they were very close. He'd even say they were each other's best friends on the surface of it. Erica's smile tightened just a fraction, her eyes going a touch flat. It was obvious to him, as it had always been, that she hated her job and role, hated what she was doing to him.
Recently, some reports have been circulating that Legion has been contracted to do more than just acting as a backup to the police. That your company has been tasked with providing policing and security for all government buildings of Wall, in addition to taking over every police precinct, Erica said. Is that true?
Felix wrinkled his nose and changed his posture slightly. It was all part of the act between him and Erica. Questions that were meant to be hard, but that he had given her to ask, and him acting uncomfortable. As he shifted, though, he had a momentary flashback to Tylan 5 years prior and a no-nonsense detective interrogating him. What was her name again? Ah, Torres. Detective Torres. Well, it's true that Legion has been asked to step in and take over for the police. They're understaffed, underpaid, and unable to keep up with the workload, Felix admitted. But it's also not true. Legion will be taking over the vast majority of the needs of Wall throughout the country, but the police will still remain employed and working in the same capacity they were previously.
In other words, the police will become the backup for Legion, Erica said, boiling Felix's answer down. You're reversing roles. But what about security for government buildings? You didn't answer that.
Felix nodded slowly. Can't remember if it's 4 years or 5 years since we came to Wall, but in the 5 years since we came here, we've supported the government at every turn. They've asked us to up the security we can provide. That includes personnel, technology, and procedures, Felix said. Erica lifted a finger up, her ears perking. Before you ask for clarification, Felix said with a smile for the beastkin. Yes, we'll be taking over security for government buildings directly. Erica raised her eyebrows and jotted something down on her pad of paper.
I do believe it's been 4 years and 8 months or so, by the way, Erica said as her pen glided back and forth.
Felix didn't reply but merely smiled at the reporter.
Speaking of security, Erica said, moving to her next question. What are your thoughts on the violence going on with our southern neighbors? Or any of our neighbors, actually?
By and large, it seems as if the entire continent is shattering apart as of late. Multiple armies are embattled on every front possible, Warlords are acting as faith leaders for their religions, and it seems that there is no going back from this. More and more governments get caught up in ever-increasing disturbances. Frowning, Felix reached up and drew a finger along his jawline. Last he'd checked through a drone, Skipper City was little more than a giant radioactive crater. Tylan was a corpse of a city, a ruined, rotting thing that was beyond hope. And all Skipper did was move on to the next target, turning it into a battleground as well. I would say that the government of Wall has done a fantastic job of limiting the influence of the old gods here. While I recognize the problems caused by outlawing certain religions, worship, and gods, I can't fault the results, Felix said. By and large, Legion isn't called in that often anymore, and those found practicing illegal or warmongering religions are exiled from Wall. Barbaric, but effective, and needed. There really wasn't another option, given what happened in Skipper City. Saw that one firsthand.
Of course, you'd support Wall in their efforts to eliminate dissenting religions. Those are the same people who run against the current governing body, Erica said, pointing her pen at Felix. Or do you have a response to that as well?
I would say that I support Wall in its efforts to protect its citizens. While I don't morally agree with the actions taken, I can definitely understand why they were taken, and I support their implementation, Felix said.
In other words, no, you don't agree with Wall, Erica said, making a point of this.
It was critical for Erica to maintain her status as a counter to Wall and Legion. It helped them keep the focus of the populace on the stories they wanted them to focus on, which meant she had to deliberately seem to provoke Felix at times. After which, Felix was required to smile, let it pass, and do nothing. To any public figure other than Erica who spoke out against Legion, the response was always swift and deliberate. Brutal, even. Economic attacks, character assassination, and blackmail. Tying everyone and everything up in legal problems, miles long. That didn't even cover those who worked in the shadows to cause problems for Wall, Legion, and Felix. Dimitri had become an essential player to Legion in the last several years in that shadow war. Working as Felix's blade in the dark, keeping the other factions down, or eliminating them outright.
I see, Erica said. Well, that was the last question I had for you, Mr. Campbell. I appreciate your time today.
Of course, Ms. Newberg, of course. I'll always make time for you, Felix said. Turning to the camera, Erica crossed one leg over the other and folded her hands in her lap.
Well, this is Erica Newberg signing out for the evening. I thank you all for joining me in tonight's interview, said the Beastkin. I caution everyone out there to be safe, be vigilant, and be watchful. Good night.
Several seconds passed as Erica stared into the camera. Eventually, the red dot at the top of the equipment began blinking.
And we're out, said the cameraman at the same time as the dot vanished.
Erica let out an explosive breath and spun around immediately toward Felix.
I'm so sorry, Felix, she said, leaning toward him across the table.
Don't worry about it. If anything, I should be apologizing to you, Felix said, standing up. You've taken on a role you hate, for the betterment of Legion. I appreciate you and your sacrifice of your happiness. Erica's ears bobbed as her head tracked him.
Legion first, she said.
Legion first, Felix replied, bowing his head to her. Now if you'll excuse me, Erica, I need to get a leg on. Felicia wants to go over a new iteration of the Warden. She thinks she's worked out a number of the problems the magical interference was causing.
Of course. Tell everyone I said hi. I should have some free time this weekend. I plan on going to Old Legion City. If you don't have any plans, maybe we could go to dinner together?
She asked, her voice softening. It wasn't the first time she'd asked him out. Simply put, though, Felix had his hands full with Lily, Andrea, and Adriana. Having three girlfriends, two of whom could multiply into as many as they liked, was too much. Are they even what I can call girlfriends anymore? Andrea and Adriana are more like wives. Hell, even Lily is at this point. As much as I appreciate the offer, I must decline, Felix said, walking past her.
Of course you must, but I'm still going to ask,
Erica said.
Maybe you'll surprise me one day and say yes.
Waving a hand at her as he exited the Legion-secured newsroom at Erica's employer's building, Felix turned his thoughts to the rest of his day.
You have lunch plans with Kit and I, then training,
Mew said, coming up beside him. Around him, several men and women in combat armor and armed with SMGs formed a column. Glancing to the diminutive psychopath of Asian descent, Felix smirked at her. Thanks. I don't suppose you'll take it easy on me today.
No. I want to see how much of your blood I can take. It also gives me a chance to wrestle you to the ground, touch you, run my hands over you,
Mew said, her eyes boring into his. They widened slowly, her cheeks coloring at the same time. Her eyes started to take on that glassy gaze she tended to pick up as her true self started to slip free. Control, Mew. Control. You've been in control all month so far. Just a few more days, and you get your reward, remember? Felix asked. Blinking twice, she suddenly swallowed and turned her face forward.
My apologies. You're too close right now, and you were looking me in the eye, Mew said. I'm fine. Now we should go. I imagine the Elec sisters are bored.
Sighing, Felix could only agree. Never wise to let them get too bored, he said. In silence, Mew walked Felix down to the entrance of the building. Stepping to one side, he waited. He was well trained now. Mew and a bodyguard walked outside, holding the doors open. At the same time, a woman slung her SMG around her middle and pressed a hand to Felix's back. Immediately, a small bubble of magical power enveloped him and her. Clear, Mew called from outside. Letting himself be guided by the sorceress at his side, Felix was escorted outside. Victoria, Adriana, and Andrea were all waiting for him inside the black sedan parked out front. The Legion banner was painted on the side of the doors, proclaiming to one and all that Legion was here. There were two other cars in the same convoy with identical markings.
Felix!
Squeaked chauffeur Andrea. Her blue and green mismatched eyes lit up with life when she saw him. She reached up and curled some of her dirty blonde hair around an ear and under her cap. With her free hand, she pulled open the door to the back of the sedan and bounced in place as she stood there. Adriana was a bit more subdued than her twin sister. She even managed not to call out to him as Andrea had. Opening the front passenger door, the brunette got in the car and shut the door promptly. Victoria moved around to the far side of the sedan and got in without a word. She must still be annoyed with me.
She's still mad at you,
Andrea whispered loudly, confirming his thought.
She thinks you're overlooking too many security risks.
Felix got into the car and slid up next to Victoria's side.
And you are, said the swordswoman. Without you, Legion would crumble. You take too many risks. You should just listen to me.
Turning her head slightly, she glared at him, her dark green eyes angry. The violent motion of her head made her short, dark brown curls bounce. Sorry. I promise we can sit down over dinner or lunch and go over everything you want. I'll listen and do my best to implement whatever you suggest, Felix said in a conciliatory tone.
Lily doesn't like it when you take other women out to eat,
Mew said, her tone cold and flat as she pushed in next to him.
She's willing to share you with Andrea and Adriana, and myself to a degree, but I don't think she'll let you have more women.
Victoria frowned and peered at Mew.
My interest is in his safety, not him. After 5 years as his personal bodyguard, I can pretty much guarantee I'm not interested in him.
Mew stared at Victoria blankly, as if she didn't believe a word of it. Reaching up with one hand, he pressed it to Mew's shoulder and eased her back into her seat. I'll have a meal with Victoria, and I'll let Lily know about it personally. Now let's get a move on, yeah? Felix glanced at the screen that was always open now, hovering just off to the side in his peripheral. Daily allotment. Received, 250. Spent, 0. Remaining, 250. Miu Miki. Received, 125. Spent, 0. Remaining, 125. Miu Miki, direct reports. Received, 2,500. Spent, 0. Remaining, 2,500. Ioana Iliescu, received, 110. Spent, 0. Remaining, 110. Ioana Iliescu, direct reports. Received, 4,500. Spent, 0. Remaining, 4,500. Kit Carrington. Received, 280. Spent, 0. Remaining, 280. Kit Carrington, direct reports. Received, 6,200. Spent, 0. Remaining, 6,200. Lillian Lux. Received, 300. Spent, 0. Remaining, 300. Lillian Lux, direct reports. Received, 2,250. Spent, 0. Remaining, 2,250. Andrea Elex. Received, 175. Spent, 0. Remaining, 175. Felicia Fay. Received, 260. Spent, 0. Remaining, 260. Felicia Fay, direct reports. Received, 8,000. Spent, 0. Remaining, 8,000. Eva Adelpha. Received, 650. Spent, 0. Remaining, 650. Mr. White. Received, 40. Spent, 0. Remaining, 40. Mr. White, direct reports. Received, 8,500. Spent, 0. Remaining, 8,500. Plus loyalty bonus. Received, 15,800. Spent, 0. Remaining, 15,800. Daily total. Received, 49,840. Spent, 0. Remaining, 49,840.
No change, Felix said after he'd looked it over for a second. I'm still being suppressed today. The point valuations are down.
Kit clicked her tongue and tapped a fingernail against the tabletop.
It would seem they're dead set on keeping our losses from coming back right now, she said. That's 2 days more than normal given the pattern you worked out, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Felix lifted a spoonful of soup from his bowl and shrugged his shoulders.
Definitely an outlier against the pattern. And yeah, I kind of felt the same. I had Victoria alert her people and Ioana as well to the situation, Felix said.
Miu was watching Felix eat his soup, her eyes fixed to him like a hunting hound.
Lily, Ioana, and Victoria all confirmed they received my message, she said. Preparations are being made already to take care of the situation and any possible contingencies.
Kit smiled, then chewed at her lower lip.
Spit it out, Felix said, watching her.
After glancing up at him and then back down to her bowl, Kit sighed softly. Leaning back in her chair, she looked around. She let her hair grow long over the years, eventually long enough that she'd pulled it back into a ponytail. In fact, now that he thought about it, he hadn't seen her in her auger outfit since they'd fled. She'd packed it away and promptly settled into a life at Legion HQ in Wall.
I begin to wonder if you need me anymore, Kit said,
her eyes watching the Legionnaires moving around them.
Old Legion City was always a bustling place. It was the only thing they'd left behind in Skipper City, and it was so far deep underground that there was no risk of radiation. If anything, it was one of the safest places they had because of what had happened far above them on the planet's surface. No one could even get close.
I'm useful as a mind reader, but now you have much more talented people in place. I do little more than manage my team and sit around waiting, Kit said.
Sounds like normal leadership to me, Felix said, setting his spoon down.
Realistically speaking, if you can be absent from your team and 80% of the time they function as if they didn't need you at all, you've succeeded as a leader. You don't need or want to save the day. You want them to run perfectly without you and only need you to guide, lead the way, or remove obstacles. That's the sign of a good leader.
Kit's mouth flattened into a line. She clearly didn't quite believe his words. Micromanagers are actually the worst kind of bosses. Their employees don't grow. They never get a chance to explore themselves as independent contributors.
Kit seemed to consider his statement more now than she had previously.
And while you're thinking on that, I had a thought this morning. Back in Tylan, I met a Detective Torres, Felix said. I was wondering if you or your team could dig up whatever happened to her. I was curious and...
Felix's wrist device chimed, then let out a low buzzing noise while vibrating violently. Tapping it quickly, Felix saw two screens overlaid. One was Legion headquarters in Wall, and the other was a power usage gauge. There was a single column that had spiked to the top, a monitoring device left in the old Legion HQ building. He'd set it up to watch for a portal opening. Pressing the button he'd put next to that column, he heard the chime of his line connecting to someone else. He told Andrea to post a guard there and have her keep a personal device on her, just in case something like this happened. "Felix to portal drop, come in," Felix said. There was a power fluctuation. "Did the portal open again? Are there people?"
"Hi, dear,"
Andrea said excitedly, her voice coming over the speakers in his wrist device.
"Yep, they opened the gate and they're staring at me."
"Wait, they can see you right now?"
"Yes, I wanted to say hi. I thought if I did, they wouldn't close it again. They look interesting, though one of them looks a lot like you." "A lot," Andrea said.
"Really? Huh. What do they want?"
"I don't know. Let me ask,"
Andrea said. There was a pause.
"What do you want?"
"Andrea, I swear to God, did you put me on speakerphone?"
"Yes,"
said the beastkin. She sounded quite guilty. "Okay, I'll just... why don't I... Okay. Hello, my name is Felix. Would you be interested in having a chat? I'd like to discuss an opportunity with you."
"I'll stay here,"
said a female voice.
"Make sure it remains open. Red will go with you. Red wants to spar with the house cat if possible,"
said a second, more gravelly voice. "My name is Vince, and I'd be willing." The sound of rapid hand claps cut through the air. She's clapping. She's actually clapping that they said yes.
"I'll make pancakes,"
Andrea shouted. Yeah, she was clapping. Kit and Miu were staring at Vince, not quite sure of what was going on. Suddenly, a bright flash lit up the main screen he'd been ignoring. He could see almost nothing through the glare of white light. Then there was a rumbling, crashing noise he could hear through the microphone pickup, and the video started to short and crackle wildly. It had sounded like an explosion, and looked like one, too. "What the shit," said Felix. "Andrea, Vince, I'm sorry, but I'm gonna have to cut this one short. I have to deal with something. Andrea, give him the pack. Vince, I truly look forward to meeting you in the future. Please don't be a stranger." Tapping the button, Felix closed the view and looked to Miu. She was already talking into her communication device and relaying orders. Turning to Kit, he found her doing the same while she opened a portal with her left hand. It led straight into Legion HQ back at Wall. No rest for the weary. Here we go again. Chapter 2. Reaper. Felix stepped through the portal Kit had created and straight into the newest iteration of the war room. It was staffed by Andrea's, Adriana's, and a number of specialists.
"Massive explosion at the entry to Wall HQ,"
and Andrea off to one side said.
"The street was cleared immediately of hostiles by the defenses. 6 reported enemy kills and a single vehicle disabled. Our defenses are clearing off the roofs, though. There were several alerts from the surrounding areas of faith magic usage."
Of course there were. Faith magic was almost always an indication of a strike from the heavens, one that couldn't be stopped with traditional magic as a defense. "Fatalities?" Felix asked, dropping down into his command chair that sat in the middle of the room.
4. Hostess, 2 guards, 1 clerk,"
a different Andrea said.
"Their remains have been secured and put with the 50% destroyed resurrection wave. The count for that wave is at 76.
76 people who need a major number of points to be able to be returned to life. Felix didn't say anything. He didn't need to. Most everyone in Legion knew what was going on. There weren't enough points to get people back up who had died in ways that destroyed their bodies beyond just losing a limb. There were barely enough points to get someone back who had died a non-violent death during suppression. Those who died and needed more points were being stored in a large morgue-like area to be brought back in waves when whatever force that was keeping Felix's points down let up. There were also a few people who had been almost completely destroyed. Truly destructive deaths, where the amount of points to get them back was beyond sizable in number. Whenever possible, Felix stored points by converting garbage into gold. That same gold was then turned into points when he got the chance to fully utilize his power. Usually it was about 3 weeks before he got a chance to bring anyone back. It was going on 4 weeks now, though. Longer than normal.
The damage to the entry is extensive. It isn't something we can get repaired quickly,
the Andrea directly in front of him said, turning in her chair to face him. Which means we have an open point of entry they can use, Felix said. What about our defenses?
All clear. Everything was switched over to automation, but...
The Adriana, who was talking, paused and tapped her way through two screens.
But there's interference from the explosion,
Iowana said, stomping out of a back office.
They loaded the damn fucking van with religious relics and some type of blessed substance.
Felix sighed and pressed his fingertips to his brow. In other words, whoever it is this time is launching a full-scale attack. Probably in the next 30 minutes, Felix said.
That'd be my assumption, Iowana said, shaking her head. For all our planning, we're just not able to limit their faith magic.
Felix didn't know what to say. It was the simple truth. Faith magic had a way of slicing right through practical magic and technology alike, which left physical strength and superpowers, both of which were much harder for Felix to get his hands on, since his own ability was so handicapped. Kit folded her arms across her chest and sighed.
It isn't as if we're not holding our own.
But we're losing, Felix said, cutting to the root of what wasn't being said. This is a war of attrition, and we're getting chipped away at.
Incoming, said the Adriana, watching a bay of monitors. A large number of vehicles heading our way. Panel vans.
And probably packed with combatants. Status on HQ defenses? Felix asked. Miu stepped closer to Felix, getting his attention.
Victoria is assembling her people and mine. She and I will move to the first bottleneck and work to hold them there,
Miu said.
Lily and her team are moving to support, but they will take a few minutes. They were in a group practice, and there's no active portal from where they were.
Felix took the report with a nod and looked to Iowana.
My people are more than ready, and we've brought up everything with simple mechanisms. Things we've found take a lot of effort for their priests to foul up, Iowana said. The wardens are being left in their bays. The Legion battalions on detached duty at the police stations are mobilizing, but they'll be at least an hour or two out. That's assuming there is nothing preventing them from getting here quickly.
That's pretty unlikely. I'd bet on them being delayed for hours and hours, if not attacked outright. Like the engines and the vehicles failing outright, just like the wardens would fail if used. It was an early lesson that Legion had learned in this war. Technology was vulnerable to faith magic. Very vulnerable. The more complicated, the more engineered, the more likely it would simply fail outright. I'm open to suggestions, Felix said. I really don't see much we can do other than a standard hold out and wait for the enemy to take enough losses to leave, or for our reinforcements to arrive.
All around the room were pensive faces. One by one, they all shook their heads. There really wasn't much to do.
So, how about we talk about business instead, Felix said. Tell me about our dumps.
Last I heard, we were starting to fold over some of the deeper and narrower pits and refining the methane.
Andrea Prime, denoted right now by her silver earrings, tapped open a light computer pad and smiled.
Everything is going exactly as you said. We're processing the metal and refining it as quickly as we can, now that we got the contract for trash pickup as well as owning the dump and junkyards,
Andrea said. Then she started to flick through multiple screens, looking for something. The lights in the war room went out, and then the emergency lights kicked in as apparently the HQ lost power.
Intruders, said an Adriana further away. 30 or so just appeared in the dorm hallways. They're spread out, though. Some type of item with them is generating a field of faith magic that is interfering with the power generators in the base.
Oh, shit. Felix looked to Miu, who would probably be the first able to respond right now, since Victoria was already in the choke point. Miu had been talking into her comm device during the exchange.
Lily is moving to engage. She picked up a squad or two of base soldiers to offset her team,
Miu said, looking to Felix for a second.
They should be on the intruders before they can do anything more.
Enemy vans are a minute out or less,
an Adriana called out. Felix thumbed the button on his wrist computer that was wired into the communication system. Enemies inbound, Felix said. Everyone get into positions for main entry defense.
We also have infiltrators in the dorm hallways. Use caution when traveling from area to area. Closing the communication channel, Felix looked at the screens on the desk of the Andrea in front of him.
I'm going to suit up and go to the line, Kit said.
I will join you,
Miyu added. Iowana stepped up into Miyu's position next to Felix.
I'll remain.
Stay safe. I can't afford to lose you. And if you die, make sure it's in one piece, Felix said, now looking away from the screens.
The sound of the elevator opening and then closing was the only response he got. Iowana slowly began walking away from Felix, looking over multiple displays. Andrea Prime and Adriana Prime stepped in close to Felix.
Felix,
whined Andrea, her ears flat to her head and her tail low behind her.
I don't like this anymore,
said Adriana, her posture not as submissive, but clearly leaning towards the same feeling.
I want to leave. Can we go and live somewhere else?
They said in unison. Felix immediately wanted to deny her request. This was home now. They'd fought to build it, and then to maintain it. He'd already fled Skipper City. Tylan as well. Fleeing again sounded awful. The sound of scattered gunfire from the trio of Elex sisters at desks in front of him diverted his attention.
Choke point one has been activated, said the Adriana of the three.
They brought portable defensive barriers, said one of the two Andreas.
Priest spotted amongst their number,
said the last of the three.
This is an all-out attack, then, Felix said. This isn't a probe or a feint. It's a real attack.
Tell the battalions coming from the police stations to take a longer route. They're more likely to be attacked on a straight path home than they are delayed.
On it,
chirped Andrea Prime, looking to her light pad. Felix was watching the screen. He saw the two forces deploy themselves behind bunkers and begin firing over the tops at the opposing side. Kit was on the far edge in her auger outfit, deflecting bullets away from legionnaires. On the far left side, a large melee was forming. The two sides had closed on one another before they had gotten the barriers up. He could see Miyu and Victoria on that end, already fighting.
Felix, called the familiar voice of Lily through his comm. We just took down one of the infiltrators. They're from the government of Wall.
Frowning, he considered Lily's words.
Wall itself, Felix muttered. Which means they're either tired of us, or they have someone trying to launch a coup. Has there been any word or warning from the government building assets?
Nothing,
Andrea Prime said.
Wait.
Oh, heavens forbid, Felix said, pressing his hands to his head. He didn't need more bad news right now. And if the government buildings were really under attack, it meant Wall was about to disintegrate around itself.
The man named Vince just walked back out of the portal, Adriana said.
Vince? Felix asked.
Yes. Andrea 67 took a photo of him and updated our files. Adriana 93 took her place. He just walked in through the paired portal and left the arrival room. He's in the hallways of the dorms.
What do you mean he left? Felix asked.
93 gave him a vest and her sidearm and sent him to find you,
Adriana said with a frown.
Remind me to trade 93 with you, sister,
Adriana said, glancing to Andrea.
She's nice,
Andrea said with a grin.
I like her. I'll trade. Would you take 22?
Wait, wait. Vince is walking around in the hallways with a gun. We don't even know what he'll do, Felix growled.
He just killed a Wall infiltrator with a sword,
Adriana said.
A sword? Felix parroted.
Vince has a sword. He just killed three more people and he's heading toward Lily,
Adriana said.
Lily?
Vince just walked past her. He's heading to the choke point. Lily is following him.
Felix looked at the cameras. He should be able to see this man named Vince now. Just on the edge of the camera, Felix saw a man dressed in what looked like medieval armor to his eyes. He was wielding a curved sword, and he had a handgun. Lily was beside him, clearly trying to talk to him. The man looked at Kit, then at the opposing soldiers on the other side, and charged at them at a full sprint.
Oh my,
Andrea Prime said. Vince was moving fast, extremely fast, speeding across the gap between the two sides. Then he was shot. It looked as if he was struck by six or seven rounds in the chest, except he kept going as if he didn't feel it. Watching with something akin to awe, Felix saw the man hop the barrier in a smooth leap. Like a flash of light, his sword struck out and skewered an enemy. Then he slashed his blade through the guts of a second.
So fast,
Adriana said. Lifting the handgun, Vince began to march forward, the gun flashing as he began putting rounds into enemy heads. Dropping the gun, he stabbed someone and stole their gun. Letting go of his blade, he stepped back, racked the gun, and began shooting everyone in front of him. The slide slammed backward as the gun went dry, and Vince pulled the sword out of the dying foe and took their rifle.
"Who is he?"
Iowana asked.
"I don't know," Felix said.
The man on the screen held the rifle low and began moving forward again. Spewing out a quick burst of fire, he mowed down those who stood before him.
"He's like death," Iowana said.
Vince reached the melee brawl and promptly stabbed a battle priest, his saber breaking in the enemy's guts. Snatching the empowered sword from the priest's grasp, Vince beat him against the head with the stolen weapon's pommel. Felix lost sight of Vince as he turned and began wading into the enemy force.
"He's faster than Victoria,"
Adriana said. Felix stared into the mob, hunting for a hint of Vince.
"There, in the rear,"
the Andrea manning the desk said. She was pointing to another monitor and a view of the back of the fight. A superhero in a silver suit stood in front of Vince.
"Who is that? I don't recognize them," and
Felix's voice stuck in his throat as Vince appeared a foot away from the super. The glowing, empowered weapon flashed out, and suddenly the super's head was flying away from his body as if it had wings. Vince threw out his arms and seemed to shout something. Then a burst of green magic exploded out of him in a ring. The cameras fuzzed over for a second as the magic passed through it. When the view came back on, Vince was stabbing downed enemies, foes who were surrendering, making short work of anyone in his way. In every camera, the enemy was surrendering and dropping to the ground with their arms up.
"Mio, if you can get him to stop, please ask him to join me," Felix said into his wrist communicator after tapping the line open for her.
Miu nodded, then darted out from the Legion forces in front of Vince. Something passed between them, ending with Vince outright murdering an enemy who had surrendered and was lying on the ground with their hands on the back of their head. Another exchange, and Vince lifted his stolen weapon, eyeing Miu.
"Holy shit, is he going to attack her too?"
Several tense seconds passed before Vince stood up and let his posture change. Vince began walking back toward Legion, looking for all the world as if he hadn't almost single-handedly solved the situation.
"Felix, he asked if you had a machine that could heal people,"
Adriana Prime said, getting his attention.
"That's what 93 said."
"A healing machine," Felix said. "He uses a sword, wears armor outdated here, and wants a healing machine."
Clicking his tongue, Felix began to think.
This might be a possible exchange. What would he want beyond that?
Looking to the man once more, Felix tried to pull up a window as if he owned him. Name: Vince, demigod, shared portfolio, power, absorption through digestion, alias, King of Yosemite, secondary power, none, physical status, lightly wounded, mental status, slightly worried, positive statuses, sated. Negative statuses, slightly tired. Strength, 97. Upgrade, 970. Dexterity, 94. Upgrade, 940. Agility, 98. Upgrade, 980. Stamina, 175. Upgrade, 1750. Wisdom, 76. Upgrade, 760. Intelligence, 74. Upgrade, 740. Luck, 31. Upgrade, 310. Primary power, 8,789. Upgrade, 878,900. Secondary power, not applicable. Upgrade, not applicable. Felix took in a slow breath.
"He's a demigod," he said. "And very, very powerful."
"Felix," Miu said, her voice cutting through his thoughts. "I'm going to take Vince to your study. You should join us as quickly as possible. If he decides he wants to cause a scene, I don't think I could stop him."
Felix rubbed a hand against his jaw and chin, thinking. Making a decision, he tapped his communicator and punched in the line for Mr. White. 2 seconds later, he heard the devices connect.
"Mr. White here? My lab is secure,"
said the man. He was a direct peer to Felicia, and he ran a separate lab in addition to a second he shared with her.
"Great. I'm glad to hear it," Felix said.
I have a request, Mr. White. I need you to put together a healing bed, preferably one that can work for a mobile type of need. I imagine it might travel a bit. Assume that wherever it is won't have a power source as well.
All right. I can pull one out of storage that'd work. Anything else?
I'll need someone who can operate it, and I'll probably have some other things I need to put together later. This might be an off-world mission, Felix said, trying to be honest with the man.
He wasn't sure where the portal was going to go.
Off-world?
All right. I'll get it taken care of. White out.
Leaning back in his chair, Felix scratched at his head. He felt tired. Tired and worn out, and he hadn't even done anything. Adrenaline is wearing off. It went from 3,000 miles an hour to nothing.
You should get going, dear,
Andrea said, leaning down in front of him.
It sounds like we shouldn't keep him waiting.
Then she gave him a kiss and patted his cheek.
Play nice.
Chapter 3 River of Trade. Felix stood in front of the door to his study, rubbing a hand back and forth across the back of his neck. He wasn't quite sure how to handle the situation. What basically amounted to a demigod of battle was on the other side of the door, one who had single-handedly taken out an enemy elite force. Somewhat of a rapid change from long lunch meetings. And again, this was the Fast and Furious, but done. I'm not sure which I prefer.
Taking a deep breath, Felix opened the door and stepped inside his study.
Good afternoon, he said, closing the door behind him. The demigod was sitting in one of the chairs in front of Felix's desk. He turned in his seat to face Felix. Immediately, he was struck by how similar this man looked to himself. Though the demigod was significantly broader in the shoulders, seeming to radiate power and barely restrained violence, it was like standing next to a wolf, one with its teeth bared but not growling.
We really do look alike, just like they kept saying, Felix said, scratching at his jaw. It's uncanny. I thought the same when I saw you, said the man.
Felix moved over and took the chair directly next to the man. Leaning forward, he reached out with his hand.
I'm Felix.
Vince, said the man, taking Felix's hand in his own. His handshake was firm and strong, but not crushing.
First off, thank you for your assistance back there. I can't tell you how much it helped. I have no doubt your actions saved the lives of many of my people, Felix said.
I wanted to blow off some steam. I haven't been able to fight my own foes as directly as I'd wish. Vince said, his face showing a bit of annoyance. The beastkin at the portal gave me the gun and told me anyone without a patch or the black vest was an enemy. Seems straightforward enough.
Adriana.
Yeah, I could see her doing that. Felix nodded slightly with a strange grin. She tends to view things fairly differently. Even more so than Andrea sometimes.
Forgive me for getting straight to the point, but honestly, I came here for help. From anyone I could find. Vince said, leaning forward in his chair. I was hoping I could get my hands on some technology. Technology that could help me and my people.
Direct. That's rather refreshing. Felix folded his hands into one another and didn't immediately respond.
What kind of tech did you need? He asked after a second to collect his thoughts.
First and foremost, medical. One of my wives is dying. Others are attempting to heal her, but they can't. It's too much for their magic. She's slowly dying. They said it's in her blood and they can't seem to stop it no matter how much magic they use, Vince said.
He's really laying everything on the table. There's nothing in his body posture that would indicate he's lying or hiding anything. Maybe it really is exactly what he's saying.
That's not a problem at all. Consider it done, Felix said, reaching over the desk. He pressed a button on the intercom.
Andrea?
Yes?
Came back the ever-eager reply.
I need Mr. White, a healing pod, and some people to carry it through the portal. Take a portable energy source as well. Tell Mr. White he's on detached duty as a special favor for me, Felix said.
Okay. Oh, there's three more guests that just came through the portal. They're on their way over to you with Prime Andrea Prime, Kit, and Lily.
More guests? Felix asked curiously, letting go of the button. Were you expecting more people?
No. I left orders to not follow me, to be honest, Vince said, his nose wrinkling.
Both Vince and Felix looked to the door as it suddenly opened. 7 women trooped in and stood staring at the two of them. Adriana Prime, Andrea Prime, Kit, and Lily had walked in with a group of women Felix didn't know. One looked like some kind of beastkin, except her flesh was pale. Her brown hair made her look even whiter as it hung around her face and shoulders. The strangest part was her eyes, though. They glowed with an inner red light. The second seemed like she had fallen out of someone's wet dream, with dark curls, green eyes, and green skin. She was all curves and slim at the same time. She was also one of the prettiest women Felix had ever seen. It was as if she oozed sexuality. The third looked like an elf, though her skin tone was significantly darker than any Felix had ever met. It was almost pearl gray. She also had dark eyes and pitch black hair, though she seemed the most normal of the three.
They look like brothers, said the Elec sisters in unison.
I don't have a brother, Vince and Felix said, also at the same time.
Swift and silent, the pale-skinned beastkin leapt forward and leaned over Felix, audibly sniffing him. Then she turned and cuddled in close to Vince, nuzzling him while smelling him loudly.
Red thinks they smell like each other, she said, then scooted around behind Vince and laid her hands on his shoulders.
What in the shit?
Okay, before this gets any weirder, Felix said. My father died quite young, and as far as I know, I have no siblings. The end.
Vince nodded.
My father vanished when I was in my 20s, but I have no siblings that I know of.
On top of that, we're from different planes of existence, Felix added, folding his arms in front of his chest.
Well, that doesn't seem to matter, Vince said with a shake of his head. Apparently my father wasn't from my plane of existence, as you called it. The portals were an experiment, I think. They found my father with one.
Felix frowned at that, his mind racing ahead.
Is that why he didn't want me playing with portals? This isn't the first time something has happened, is it?
You said they found him?
Lily asked.
Yes, they opened a portal and brought him through, I believe.
And you are? Vince asked.
Lily.
Lily said, bobbing her head slightly to Vince.
That makes you Kit, Vince said, looking to her.
Yes, I am,
Kit confirmed.
This is Red, Vince said, pointing at the beastkin, who had moved around behind him. That's Mouth, he said, pointing at the green-skinned sex goddess. And Felicity, he continued, pointing at the elf.
The portals were an experiment on your world? Asked Lily.
Yes. They ruined my world in doing it. Much of what used to be the United States is a mess of other races all battling for supremacy.
The United States? What's that?
Kit asked.
A country. It was a country, many years ago, Vince said.
Felix raised a hand and started to rub his chin as if in thought.
Oh?
Felix?
Asked Andrea.
Hmm?
Mr. White? The pod and the guards will be ready in about 10 minutes. They're getting it all packed up now.
Great, Felix said, not looking at anyone or anything in particular. His mind was elsewhere, churning with thoughts about how to make this sudden ability to access another world benefit Legion.
Would you be willing to make a trade with me? Felix asked, looking at Vince.
Depends on what you want, Vince said.
To Felix, it was clear he was used to dealing with predators.
Gold. As much as I can get my hands on. It'll help me and my people immensely.
What do you need? Felix asked.
Weapons, Vince immediately replied. I'm fighting a war against those with weapons I cannot match. They have guns, artillery, and bombs. I have very few of those for my country.
Your country?
Andrea asked.
Yes, Yosemite. It's our country.
Ooh, I want to visit,
Andrea said, looking at Adriana.
I do too,
said Adriana.
They both turned and looked at Red.
Feral friend, Will you give us a tour?
Red looked at the two beastkin as she continued to hold Vince.
If Bringer says it's okay, then Red will do so, Red said.
Weird way of talking. I wonder what she is.
That's fine. Go now if you like, Vince said, leaning forward towards Felix.
Eager to continue. Looks like I'll be an arms dealer again.
Yay!
The Elix sisters said, looking quite pleased with themselves. Red let go of Vince and started to walk away.
Bringer, why is there a picture of your father?
Red asked suddenly. Vince frowned, shaken from his deep desire to talk about a trade, and looked to Red. Felix looked as well, curious what she was talking about. The pale beastkin was pointing at a bookshelf with a framed picture of Felix's uncle.
Huh? Vince asked.
Red remembers Bringer's father. This is him, Red said.
She moved forward, grabbed the picture, and brought it over to him.
See?
She said. Vince looked down at the picture and looked lost.
Very lost. I don't understand, Vince said, looking up from the picture to Felix.
Shocked at the possibilities, Felix reached out and gently took the picture from Red's hands.
This is my uncle. Miles. Miles Campbell, Felix said, looking from the picture to Vince. This is your father?
Vince nodded.
That doesn't make any sense. The time doesn't add up. It's impossible. There's no actual way this is even remotely possible. Unless my dear nameless godlike benefactor has been playing with the flow of time.
Mother only called him Campbell. On the deed in the house, though, it says Miles Campbell, Vince said.
Dad and Miles were twins. If it's true, doesn't that make him more of my half-brother of sorts?
Grinning, Felix set the picture down on his desk and looked at Vince.
Well, I suppose I have another surprise for you, then. My dad and your dad were twins, Felix said. Genetically, we're probably closer to half-brothers than cousins, I guess. I'd wonder if all this was only a coincidence, especially considering there are some concerns with time, if one thinks about it. Doesn't quite match up, really, Felix said, looking up towards the ceiling. Though I'm betting it isn't as much a coincidence as I would originally think.
Shaking his head, he looked back to Vince with a smile.
Let's talk about what you need and what I need, and let's figure out how we can help one another, little brother.
I'm afraid my lord is apt in the ways of war, but he has me and my sisters for the needs of the kingdom. I'll be happy to work through Yosemite's needs with whoever your representative is,
said the woman Vince had named Felicity.
That's me,
Lily said, her eyes still moving between Vince and Felix for a second, before looking to Felicity.
I think we should have a chat, Felix said, sitting alone in his study, staring up at the ceiling. Because the time involved doesn't add up. That and it sounds like there's a lot more going on than meets the eye. So, let's have a chat.
As you like,
said the man Felix had come to refer to in his head as his benefactor, since he hadn't named himself. He'd simply appeared in the chair directly in front of Felix's desk, where Vince had been sitting only an hour previous. I think I deserve some answers at this point. Especially if you want me to do my best with whatever favor you ask of me in the future, Felix said. Because things are starting to go pretty bad for me here, and now this happens. It's all a bit odd to me. Felix's benefactor sighed and slumped into the chair. He pressed his right hand to his temple, leaning to one side.
Right then. Where to begin? He said. As to your problems here in the world,
can't help you there.
I have an agreement with the deities to not get involved if they don't get involved.
They're very much involved, Felix said, his emotions leaking out in his tone.
From your point of view, it probably feels that way. But up to this point, they're really just acting through belief in some cryptic messages, said the benefactor. They've summoned and used no avatars. They've granted no holy weapons, nor demanded any crusades. This is all mankind simply turning on itself as soon as it's gotten a taste for power. Power it can tap into and believe in.
Felix gritted his teeth together rather than reply. He wasn't sure he could say anything that would be even remotely construed as polite.
Be that as it may, I won't get involved. But I can at least give you some answers you could easily get yourself, said the man sitting upright in his chair. So let's start there. What questions do you have?
Why does practical magic fail against this religious magic? Felix asked.
Because the god of magic for this plane is dead. He perished a long time ago, and in such a way that no one could inherit the mantle, said the benefactor. There was nothing backing the magic up. No amount of faith in practical magic will give it anything more than its base value. Faith magic, though, is empowered by that faith.
Okay, that makes sense. It's a little strange, but... okay, it's an answer. Let's keep going. How many gods are actively suppressing me and my power? It seems a bit unfair when I can't even use my abilities and a god is holding me down, Felix said bitterly.
12, the benefactor said. They take turns in keeping you from your full power. They're required to give you breaks directly relative to how long they've kept you down. At this rate, they're going to have to give you an entire week.
Required? Felix asked.
Required by me. I felt their plan was too much for a group of deities to put upon one such as yourself, so I limited their actions, the benefactor said.
Good to know he's working on my side to keep things fair, at least. Never really considered why they stopped every now and then. Is Vince really-
Yes. Yes, he is. Genetically, he's your half-brother. Relationally, he's your cousin, the benefactor said. No, I can't get too deep into the details, but I can tell you some of it.
Felix nodded and held his hands out in front of him. Please then, tell me all you can. I would love to know what's going on because honestly, it's just confusing, he admitted.
Felix's benefactor sighed and looked up at the ceiling.
Part of this story has more to do with me, but I don't think we'll get into that yet. We'll keep it to you and your family. First, on the plane Vince comes from, they were conducting experiments with portals. They built several labs, then opened portals at the same time, thinking they would go from one to the other. Portal jumpers, or sliders, as it were.
Felix's benefactor tapped his thumb against the arm of the chair, clearly thinking on his words.
The simplest answer, though it isn't completely right, is they didn't lock the portals in place. Several of them went spinning off through the planet, then into space, while others opened up into other worlds and did the same thing there, ripping out giant chunks and sending them to the other side. Then the experiment just got worse. Random portals began opening all over, across multiple planes, universes, planets. Entire cities were ripped out and flung into other worlds. Whole populations of people. For a number of planes, it was the end of their existence. One planet ended up having its core pulled inside out and emptied into the vacuum of space.
Is that even possible? What he's describing sounds more like something out of a religious text describing the end times.
Even deities were ripped from their home planes and flung around, the benefactor said. Then I closed it. All of it. Every portal. I put back everything I could, even whole planes I wasn't willing to give up on. Though, there were some things I couldn't fix. But that's another story for another time. Your uncle was pulled across into another plane many years after the original experiment. Apparently some of the scientists had survived and kept trying to finish their ancestors' work.
Pulled across. But what about my aunt? Felix asked.
Yes, he was pulled across from your plane to that plane. Happened while he was visiting a site where a portal had opened. There was a particularly nasty little critter there that tore your aunt apart, though, which is how she died. Your uncle escaped that fight, and during his escape, he was grabbed by the team of scientists, hence eventually creating Vince on that plane with one of those very same scientists.
Felix shook his head, pressing his hands to the sides of his temples. You realize this sounds crazy, right?
You asked. And as to your next question, yes. The time doesn't add up right. Each plane runs on its own time. Their world was running at a different pace than yours for quite a while.
Closing his eyes, Felix tried to process all that into something more comprehensible. Okay. Vince really is my half-brother. The gods are holding me down here, and you're playing referee, Felix summarized.
More or less. Definitely a soup sandwich there, bud. Seems like you're getting a handle on it, though.